Guys,
we should we should establish a betting pool of how long before this program is censored.
It may not be long. It may not be long. And for folks that are listening or watching, there is a backup channel on Rumble, so you can always go there. Hopefully, and it'll be there if it's canceled on the other platforms. But guys, let's try to squeeze in one more question, and the question is about worship within the church, within the body of Christ. And the question is, what is true worship? And this person is asking or stating, I don't have the ability to sing well or have many gifts, if any at all. I'm confused as to what it means to worship God. Is this something that we can only do during worship service on Sundays? And Frank, you want to start with that one?
Sure. What a privilege. And I'll try to be very brief. You said you want to squeeze this in. I think we're confused. We're confusing praise and worship. Praise is what's going on Sunday morning with music and everything else. Does that qualify as worship? Absolutely. But I'm not so sure that we're limiting worship to praise. We call it, let's worship him now. It's a much bigger word than that. In John chapter 4, when Jesus was having that discussion with the Samaritan woman, and he said, we will worship in spirit and in truth. And in spirit, I think he's obviously referring with that phrase to the establishment of a new covenant, where God is going to live inside of man. And that means then that everything through me becomes worship. It's either a function of worship or it's a function of walking after the flesh. And notice I made a distinction. I didn't say walking in the flesh. A believer can never be in the flesh because he's now in Christ. But you can walk after it. You can make the choice to live out of a fleshly motive and a fleshly resource, i.e. your own strength and your own provision in life. But that means that those ladies and gentlemen that are in a nursery and changing diapers are worshiping. When I drive my car, I'm worshiping. When I, most of the time, till somebody tailgates me. then I give them the finger. There's one way.
You're just telling them that they're number one, right?
I know a lot on that topic, Frank. I've been on the phone with you in the car. I could blackmail you.
There you go. Well, you know what? One of the things I've said over the years is, you know, people were never designed to have that much speed and power at their fingertips and feet. It will manifest their selfishness and their ignorance. It exposes it very quickly. But, you know, it's interesting. But the word Jesus used in that John 4 passage is lutrao. And lutrao means to serve. And, you know, we think that somebody singing a song is worship. Nah, it is. I would prefer more to call it praise, but it is worship. But I worship, you know, when I get up in the morning and make a cup of coffee. I worship when I serve somebody. Remember what Jesus' words, when you visited me in prison and you gave me a glass of water, you did it unto me. And that would be defined as worship. Worship is not an event so much as it is a lifestyle. Remember what Paul said, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it unto the glory of God. So when you're eating, that's an act of worship done in thanksgiving. You know, and Paul and Timothy said, you know, when we eat in thanksgiving, that's an act of setting that apart unto God. So worship is such a much bigger concept than somebody singing a song on a Sunday morning. It is a lifestyle of a recognition and devotion to the King of Kings, and that he is worthy of our lives. Not just our lips.
Yep.
So, Frank, if someone can worship God by their eating at Thanksgiving, then some of us have more of an ability to worship God to a greater extent than others. Is that correct?
There you go.
And it's better worship.
What about it, Preston?
It's better worship when you eat Mexican food than when you eat a sandwich.
Yeah, it's sanctified. Yeah, definitely.
Let me expand a little bit. Let me take some liberties with the question that this person is asking and talk a minute about what Frank has parsed out or pieced out as praise as opposed to worship. So I totally concur on our lives being an act of worship. There's a piece of what I hear in this question, though, that is kind of frustrated about their ability to praise. They can't. They don't have a voice that's a singing voice. They aren't talented. They said, and so they're frustrated about, well, how do I praise God adequately? Let's say, and I think it's an interesting and good question because it plays into two things. It plays into, one, how the body of Christ functions when it assembles, and number two, it fits into one of the categories that is listed as the spiritual practices. So, I wrote a book recently on those spiritual practices, and if the spiritual disciplines, typically 12 of them, if they are as important and fundamental to the faith as our faith has said for centuries, then it only makes sense that they would be the target of spiritual warfare, so that we fail to fundamentally practice the faith in a manner such that we can apply it better. So the voice that you hear coming out of me is a bass voice. And the point is, the reason I say that is, I was born with a bass voice. I've always had a low voice. And so when I was in like the second grade, we had a school program, and the teacher honored me, distinguished me, by letting me pull the curtain. Well, what she was actually doing was she was preventing me from singing with a whole classroom full of people that had soprano voices. Well, eventually that message dawned on me, and the takeaway was, you can't sing. You shouldn't sing. Your voice is bad. It's wrong to have a bass voice. You need a tenor voice, and you don't have that. And so you can't sing. It sounds silly, but it still haunts me. When I do find myself in the presence of other people and we're singing, I'm very careful about my voice. The only time I really sing is if I'm in the garage by myself, or if I'm in my truck by myself. So there's still shame associated with that. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, I grew up in a religious tradition where when we sang on Sunday morning, we opened a hymnal, a book of songs. Now, if you give me a hymnal complete with music, you know, notes on a star, on a bar graph, I can read the music. I can sing the song because I can read the music. I can participate in the singing. But if you introduce to me a song that I've not heard before, and even if you just give me chords, I stumble. I can't sing. I'm silent. I'll listen to you sing, but typically then about the time I get the melody of what you're singing, it's time for us to change songs. And I haven't been focused on worshiping God or praising God. I've been focused on not singing when I'm not supposed to sing, and on learning a chorus that I'll never sing again, probably. So my praise and my worship experience then is impeded because there's no way for me to corporately participate. And if you put enough of us in the pew, and there are enough of us that don't know the song, then corporate worship is a misnomer. And I think that that is a problem for us in our church today. Mm-hmm. Going back then to the teachings on worship or praise as one of the spiritual disciplines, if you can't participate in that simply because the system is rigged against your ability to participate, then it becomes eminently difficult for you to practice that discipline. And again, if the discipline is fundamental and it's taken away from you, then something fundamental is lacking in your ability to apply your faith. In other words, I think when we start talking about the church and what the church is doing and how we're functioning and so forth, I think there are several things that we probably could correct course on that would help us be more effective. But in particular, one of them is, let's get back to some system where people like me can participate, can offer up our praise and our worship in some venue where I can actually pull that off and help me fight the fight that I have of feeling shamed, because when I get in the garage and I sing, you know, when I hit the low note, man, the wrenches fall off the wall. And I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't know if that's a joyful noise or it's not. It takes a lot of work inside my head to say, okay, Father, I'm going to offer something to you. It seems like it really is probably wrong and bad, but here's my heart anyway. And I hear something of that in that question. So, for what it's worth.
Yeah, I think that you've hit on something very, very, very important that needs to be addressed. I think in a lot of churches in our modern world, they have become more concerts than communal corporate worship. And that's tragic, because we are called to sing unto the Lord, all of us. And if we are, and you know, there's that buzzword of excellence, and I do believe in doing your best, but excellence is something that's really only found in God. And, you know, and in the old book, you know, they had skilled musicians, skilled singers. So they did do those who were gifted. But like you say, I think they did it in such a way that all could sing. I would quote a guy I listened to years ago, and I heard him say this, and I liked it, so I stole it. He said, you know, in corporate assembly, clap your hands, make a joyful noise, sing unto the Lord, just make a holy grunt, do something, express praise to God. So I've always kept that in the back of my brain, a holy grunt. But, you know, when you were talking, I couldn't help but be reminded. We had a guy in our church. He had a voice like Kermit the Frog. And you've never heard anything until you've heard Kermit the Frog sing How Great Thou Art off key. But he would sing out because he knew who he was. And he knew who he was worshiping. You just didn't want to stand next to him because he'd get you off key real quick. But I hear that in that person too, Press. I'm glad you brought that up. And I hope that person will come to the realization that they give what they have to him who is deserving of all that we bring. and let it out.
Yep.
Even if it's Kermit. Oh, Lord, it was hilarious. But it was unto the Lord. And in fact, we even got to the point where we could rib him about it, and he would laugh back. So it was kind of fun.
It would have been something else if I'd have been standing beside him. He was saying, how great thou art.
So we had Kermit and the foghorn.
There we go. If there's any consolation, Preston, after doing this for about a little over 2 years now, I'm very envious of your baritone voice. So hopefully that you get some encouragement from that. I wish I had a voice like Preston to do this podcast. It would be very, very nice and very cool to have that deep voice. But
the radio people years ago used to tell me, buddy, you got a voice for radio. They'd say, buddy, you got a face for radio.
There you go. Well, we did talk about giving today, and we did talk about Preston's inability to sing. So maybe a listener out there could send in some money for voice lessons as an act of worship to God.
There we go.
Building up the community of faith.
Yep. That'll work.
Absolutely. Guys, very encouraging encouragement about what exactly is true worship in the body of Christ. And even if we sing like Kermit the Frog, we can still worship God in other ways, possibly. So, yeah. But guys, and for those that are listening, I have activated the Rumble channel of Ask Frank and Press. So you can simply go to rumble.com. That's R-U-M-B-L-E, rumble.com. And just do a search for Ask Frank and Press. And I'm just asking that you find the page there and just follow or subscribe on your Rumble channel. But you can find all of the Ask Frank and Press videos, and I'm uploading as time goes along. As I've got more time, I'll edit more videos and put those up there. But thank you for listening, and thank you, Preston, and thank you, Frank, for your wisdom today.